Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Wiki Politiki. Today's show is about business as unusual, about making the life or death transition from what author John Perkins calls the death economy to the life economy, from one based on the four E's: extraction, exploitation, extortion, and yes, extinction, to one based on four R's: renewables, respect for the web of life and human life as well, and redefining growth as growth and happiness and well-being while using resourcefulness and fewer resources. So the good news is, in corporations worldwide, there is an awakening awareness, an evolutionary upwising, we call it, to this new bottom line that reflects what the Swami has said. If we lose the earth, well, there goes the GDP. So that's a serious kind of situation here. And our guest today, Steve Farrell, is here to address it in a very positive way. Steve has bridged the world of business and the world of consciousness. He's a one-time Silicon Valley entrepreneur and executive who co-founded and led two high-tech companies. He then left that field because of what he calls a deeper calling that has led him to spearhead humanity's team, led him to create Global Oneness Day, and now launch the Conscious Business Network. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here with you and your listeners.
Very good, very good. You know, I'm always curious as to how people find their true purpose, their work of heart. Why don't you tell us a bit about your career in high tech, and then why and how you focused your work life on, we'll call it, higher tech?
You bet. Well, as you mentioned in your introduction, your generous introduction, I was an entrepreneur in Silicon Valley in the 1990s, and I was in the right place at the right time. I had been with IBM in the 80s, and we'd acquired a company called Roam that was a voice company. And we were merging voice and data and putting it over high-speed lines for customers. And this was right before the internet was born. So myself and together with another partner, we started a company that focused on this whole digital media revolution, putting digital communications over high-speed links for corporations. And we knew a little bit more than the next guy, and that little bit more earned us jobs into all of the, in fairly short order, into all of the larger company campuses there in Northern California. So the Gap and Esprit and Apple and AAA of California and U.S. Leasing, and I could go on. These companies brought us in to create high-speed networks for their campuses and to bridge their high-speed, bridge their campuses with their other locations around the world. So we, you know, we came in, designed these networks, started selling gear in to support the networks, and then tuned the networks over time, and it turned into a huge business. So we went from two guys in an executive suite with used furniture to a $75 million company within 10 years. But I did have a huge epiphany in there, and I sold everything. But at least that gets us started with you know, what happened to me being in the right place at the right time out there in Northern California.
Well, you know, it really is true about right place, right time. So many great successes occur that way, and often people mistakenly take credit for that when really it's just they just happen to be having the right thing, et cetera, et cetera. I'm curious as to how this transition took place. What was it that sparked the transition, and how long did it take for you to segue from your career there to your next career?
Well, you know, I kind of told the story of the first company. We actually started two companies in that decade of the 90s. We took them both to $75 million. The first one, it took us 10 years. The second one, it took us 2 years. So, you know, I mean, truly, talking about being in the right place at the right time. But even in the 90s, like today, you know, in fact, I'll take you back to a moment in the 90s. I was looking out my window, and I just realized that this whole Darwin survival of the fittest thing is real. That business was all about growing your top line and your bottom line as rapidly as you could to increase, to create financial prosperity for shareholders. And I was one of the biggest shareholders. And but as I was looking out my window, what I could see is, you know, my God, look, even in the 90s, you know, we had climate change. We had all kinds of challenges. And I just thought, you know, my God, at the end of my life, how am I going to feel? If my whole thing is starting companies and growing companies and selling the companies for shareholders, when there's these kinds of challenges going on the earth. So it felt like I was playing a kid's game. And also in that time frame, I started reading spiritual texts. The first one that really had enormous impact was Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And, of course, there now are 10 Conversations with God books out. But as well, I read material from scientists, and of course you and Bruce Lipton wrote a book. There's some Nassim Harriman and Greg Braden and Lynn McTaggart and Dean Radden. And, you know, there's so many scientists, as you know, that have made it their life work that to talk about our oneness, that everything is connected, and when we come from that place of connection of oneness, we also come into a place of responsibility. Connection goes together with responsibility. It's like in a family, you're married and you have kids, there's connection, and that creates responsibility. Well, when we see that actually everything is connected, as scientists share, so the earth around us is a part of who we are, that our larger self is actually the earth, you know, all of humanity and life on earth. When we see that, then we move these fence posts out from just being around ourselves or being, contained to ourself and our wife and our kids, to the whole of the earth. You know, this is what we do when we see that we're all one. And, of course, in humanity's team, this is a lot of our work, is with scientists talking about our connection, our oneness, our responsibility, and then, you know, picking a project where if every family becomes involved in one project, whether it's climate change or a humanitarian project, some kind of project, then many hands make light work, and we create this heaven on earth that everybody talks about.
You know, one of the pieces that Bruce Lipton, my colleague Bruce Lipton, is working with right now is how biology creates intelligence, and that the as cells begin to combine with other cells and become communities, there is a shared awareness in that community. So when you're talking about oneness, Bruce would say, well, really, we're really all cells in one organism. And so the activities that we engage each to each and on the whole need to be activities that actually enhance the well-being of the entire organism, rather than, as you were saying earlier, that the very limited view of the old paradigm corporate, we'll get to the new paradigm in a minute, but the old paradigm corporate way is basically making money for our shareholders at any cost. And so what you've bumped up to a much bigger picture and much bigger connection. I know that you've used the word oneness. How did the oneness meme land with you? I see you use it a lot.
Well, you know, Erwin Schrödinger, just staying connected with science here, and as you probably know, he was the Nobel Prize winner for physics in 1933. And Erwin Schrödinger was, you can Google it, he says, quantum physics thus reveals a basic oneness of the universe. As well, people that are into religious and spiritual text have probably seen it, because in the Old Testament, in the Bhagavad Gita, And in many other sacred texts that go back to before Christ times, there's this reference to oneness. So it's an ancient truth. It's a timeless truth, actually, that everything is all one. And it turns out, you know, but it's kind of been in the ghetto or in the closet. It's something that's talked about in science circles, in some spiritual circles. Even philosophy, Ken Wilber and so on, talks about it. But in the mainstream, it's not well understood. And that's why, of course, we created Global Oneness Day, to bring together world leaders, spiritual leaders, scientists, and people from many other domains of knowledge to talk about oneness. So we bring it out of the closet, and we call Global Oneness Day the Earth Day for an awakened humanity.
Yeah, and it really is. I've participated several years, and it's always amazing to hear all of the resonant comments. And so I have a sense that your work through these organizations like Humanity's Team is to bring the ideal into the real deal. How did Humanity's Team get launched? And tell me more about that organization.
Yeah, I mentioned that we were founded in 2003. So we're about 14 years old. And I mentioned Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the Conversations with God books. He is the primary founder of Humanity's Team. He and I came to know each other in the 90s. He had reached out to say, hey, are there any business leaders that are bringing this Conversations with God or this oneness and this connection wisdom into their business? And so he and I started chatting a little bit, and I got to know him a little bit. And then I did sell these organizations. I sold both companies that I started that I mentioned went to about $75 million in revenue, because I had this spiritual epiphany that, my God, you know, that we actually are all one. When it's said in the Bible, you know, that we're created in the likeness and image of God, that it's actually true. You know, we all, if we take that moment, can have that moment where we can actually see and feel into our offspring, you know, in the divine, in God. And I thought, my God, you know, imagine if kids could grow up this way, where they could really know that that this is true, you know, that they're offspring of the creator of the universe. And I thought, wouldn't that change everything? Which is, this goes hand in hand with oneness, that everything's connected, that, you know, so it's like, so the divine is like an ocean, and we're all waves in the ocean, where we lap up onto the shore and then we recede back into the ocean. We're always connected with source or the divine, with God. But even as we're engaged in these different kinds of pursuits. So, but going back to the founding of Humanity's Team. So in June 2003, Neil launched Humanity's Team. I helped him launch it. And shortly thereafter, he asked me to lead it. And I've been in this worldwide executive director role since. But we were founded with a very narrow focus, and that focus was to awaken ourselves to our oneness with the divine, each other, and all of life. You know, that this what I'm calling this ancient wisdom, this timeless truth, that we are all one, to bring that out into the open. So, you know, it's probably no surprise we create something like Global Oneness Day. It was a part of our strategy for fulfilling the mission of Humanity's Team, to bring this wisdom out into the open, so that it's not just esoteric wisdom, it becomes wisdom that we can live by. And in a little bit, I know we'll talk about conscious business. Not only can we live by this wisdom, we can actually bring this wisdom into our commerce, into our economy, into our organizations and business. And that then becomes game-changing, because then we can, you like to use the term, Steve, going from transactional to transformational. And we can accomplish that. We can go from transactional business to transformational business when we bring this wisdom into an organization.
You know, it's really true. And, you know, we live in an age of content, the information age, plenty of content out there. And so anytime context can be used to give us a frame for our actions. You know, it's kind of like that old story about the somebody who's, you know, doing labor and carrying bricks and mortars and so on. They, you know, and somebody asks, what are you doing? He says, I'm building a cathedral. So if you have a bigger picture of the work that you're doing, and you can fit your daily activities into a larger context, as in being part of humanity's team, as being part of an awakening global organism, in helping us shift from the Newtonian this versus that to a Einsteinian quantum field oneness that, of course, is resonant with all of the great spiritual teachings. All of our great spiritual coaches have said we're all connected. And so now science is proving that true. And just as it took well over 100 years from the time Copernicus discovered and declared mathematically that the Earth revolved around the sun, it took more than 100 years for that to be accepted as truth by the powers that be. So right now we don't have that much time, and you know what I value so much about the memes that you're putting out there, the humanity's team oneness and conscious business, is that these are all contexts for people to put their activity and their focus into as they go about their daily life, their work of heart, and it certainly gives it extra meaning. So we're going to take a break very shortly, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the Conscious Business Network and some of the things that are on the... Oh, here we go. We'll be back right after this message.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Imagine, it is the year 2039. A single corporation controls most of the world through genetic modification, food, and drugs. A senior geneticist's lover dies, launching him on a quest to take down the psychopathic CEO and the handful of elite families that control the corporation. The feature film Corporate Prey, based on the novel of the same name, points us toward a dystopian future where we seem to be headed. Huge corporations do largely control our farms and our pharma, and wealthy elites seem to be operating to the detriment of most humans. Can we reverse course? Can prophecy lead to prevention? Can a movie awaken enough of us in time? To find out more and how you can help bring this enlightening film to light, go to CorporatePrey.com. Corporate Prey. That's P-R-E-Y.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Steve Behrman, we're back with WikiPolitik, and while I'm still remembering, people have been asking me, well, what is that theme music that you're playing? That's actually a song called Drive Your Karma, Curb Your Dogma, written by my friend and colleague Dan Lawrence, and it's on the CD of the same name at the Wake Up Laughing website, Drive Your Karma, Curb Your Dogma. There are words to it. We just use the instrumental part to introduce our show here. Now, last week, my guest was Joe Simonetta, and his book is Seven Words That Can Change the World. And these seven words, to me, set out a simple and maybe not easy, but simple context for life-sustaining business. Be healthy, be kind, respect the environment. Seven words: be healthy, be kind, respect the environment. So I'm curious, Steve, how has the Conscious Business Network set apart to make those ideals manifest?
Well, gosh, you know, back in 2014, we and we're an NGO, which is a nonprofit NGO, non-governmental organization. And
oh God, I thought you said GMO. I was wondering. Oh, I'm glad you're an NGO, not a GMO. It's great relief over here.
That's for sure. Yeah. So, you know, so Steve, we looked around at the forms of commerce at B Corps and B Lab, and we looked at conscious capitalism and other models. Of course, the Western way of doing business: grow revenue, grow profit. And what we could see troubled us, that where we talk about creating the kind of world that you just described, we didn't see us going there. We didn't see something transformational in these models that would take our business to a world like that. That when the next great recession or the next huge business challenge or the next major challenge comes along. You need something truly transformational. You need to bring the fullness of consciousness to business. And so we reached out to other NGOs, non-governmental organizations, the Club of Budapest based in Europe, the Goy Peace Foundation based in Japan, and the Fowler Center as an agent of public benefit out of Case Western Reserve University in Ohio. And we said, do you see what we see, that we don't really have a model here for bringing the fullness of consciousness to business? And they said, yes, we see the same thing. And so we said, well, shall we together create a standard, you know, a declaration that defines what conscious business is, so that we can create a systemic solution? And, of course, a systemic solution lays out a path, a journey, so that any organization can get from, you know, from a starting point to an end point. And they, fortunately, they said yes. So we spent over a year creating a very short conscious business declaration. If you go to consciousbusinessdeclaration.org, you can read the short declaration. You'll see pictures of all of the founders and founding organizations. And we set up in that with that little declaration a systemic process for any organization to become conscious and to grow its consciousness. So that was kind of our starting point. But the big thing here is that we bring in a fourth P. You often hear these P's of people, planet, and profit, but we brought in a fourth P, which is presence. And this, it's this fourth P, presence, that is the transformational thing. And it's what you talk about in your program, and scientists talk about, and Eckhart Tolle talks about, and sacred text talks about, which is the sacred in all of life. It's this connection, you know, it's this oneness. And presence is that brings in then the interior dimension. You know, a lot of times hear that, well, we need something where there's an interdependence between the interior, where we're going within in prayer or meditation or quietness or mindfulness and stillness, and then that can anchor this outer work or this outer dimension, the things that we do in the world that are anchored by our interior dimension. So presence brings that in. Presence brings in the sacred. So, yeah, sorry about that, everybody. That's never happened before. I guess Steve Behrman and I both fell off the line here right in the middle of our conversation. We were talking about conscious business and this fourth P, presence, which is this game-changing thing, this transformational thing that just makes business an agent for change in a positive way, such that there's benefit in everything that the organization does. So this is what this whole conscious business activity is about in Humanities Team. And once again, we're together with three other NGOs, the Club of Budapest, the Goy Peace Foundation, and Fowler Center as an agent of public benefit out of Case Western Reserve University. We call ourselves the Conscious Business Alliance. We created the Conscious Business Declaration at consciousbusinessdeclaration.org. And just invite you to go there, read the declaration, see if you get an inner yes when you read it. And if you do, invite you to sign it, and even invite coworkers and friends and family to sign it as well. We think it's really important, because what it does is it creates a flourishing world, a flourishing earth, a flourishing humanity, and God knows that's needed. So we're real excited about the initiative. There are other programs. I'll just share a little bit about them, and if there's some way that you all can put up your hand or bring in questions, that would be awesome too. I'm sure Steve Behrman will be back here. In order to just create this journey for organizations that want to go down this consciousness path, in the humanities team, we created a division called Conscious Business Enterprise. So that's INNERPRISE, Conscious Business Enterprise, which is different than enterprise spelled with an E. And a Conscious Business Enterprise, of course, is an organization that's bringing in this whole aspect of sacred-guided or spirit-guided collaboration and decision-making. It's bringing in presence, where you're actually looking out on the world and you're seeing the sacred and you're serving the sacred, that this is what the organization is doing. So what we see as we journey out into the future is transformation, where we're going from enterprises with an E, and the focus is on the bottom line, growing revenue and profit at the expense of the planet, where we're treating the planet as a refrigerator, to enterprise, where there's this interdependence between the inner and the outer, and where the inner, this sacred guided collaboration and decision-making, is the thing that is the culture of the organization. And so solutions, products, and services grow out of that culture. And, of course, I don't need to tell you what kind of beautiful products and services and solutions can grow out of a culture like that. So examples would be Tesla and Unilever and Patagonia and Tom's Shoes. I live in Boulder, and there are many organizations that are enterprises that are conscious and that look at the world this way and create products and services this way. So I'm going to just keep sharing until my partner comes back, Steve Behrman. But one of the exciting things that Steve and I were talking about just as we were beginning the program is that we're launching from Conscious Business Enterprises Division and Humanities Team these classes that train individuals in all of this consciousness. And one of them is called Building a Prosperous Business Through Conscious Practices. It's a six-week course that goes into the whole business practice of how this works, how cultures are created, and how leadership is transformed, what leadership does in a conscious organization, things like this. And then there's a program that follows called Conscious Business Change Agent Training and Certification. And that's a program where we take people all the way through the tools and the process for transforming an organization to a conscious organization. So there's even a lot more depth to it. We actually certify people as Conscious Business Change Agents, CBCAs, that go through that process. So both of these are focused on individuals, one kind of getting at what and why of conscious business, and the other one, the how, the tools for creating conscious business and organizations, starting conscious businesses or transforming unconscious businesses to conscious businesses. So these are some of the things that we're just now in the process of launching, these two courses. And when you go to sign the Conscious Business Declaration, that consciousbusinessdeclaration.org site, you will send you some information on these courses. That the first one begins in February, the second one begins in April. And so for progressive organizations, for people that are conscious themselves and that see that we need to create conscious organizations all over the planet, that's what will create the healthy planet that we all want, it's an incredible opportunity. We believe, by the way, I'll call it an evolutionary tornado has put down, and that all business in the next decade will become conscious business, because more and more people are waking up to the notion that unconscious business where the whole focus is just revenue growth and profit growth, that's not leading us to where we want to go. It's creating the world that we see today, where we've got a climate change is a huge problem, CO2 emissions, and all of the other kinds of problems, the inequality, and all of these things that are based on this sense of separation, which isn't true. So, and of course, that's what our humanities team organization is about, is just exposing the deceit in separation, that it's not true, that actually everything is connected, that we are all one, and that where we live our lives that way, we can create really healthy lives and healthy families and healthy communities. And of course, that's a whole topic unto its own as well. But I just want to say these practices are not just about creating a healthy world and a healthy planet. They do, and I'm talking about that. But the really amazing thing is they create true prosperity for the individual and the family and the workers as well. True prosperity in the sense of financial prosperity, because this is quite popular. These organizations I mentioned, like Tesla and Unilever, are media darlings. Communities and the earth love these organizations. So where we go to the front and lead and become conscious, there's this opportunity to create financial prosperity. But the prosperity goes so much further than financial. The prosperity goes to generative practices, our creativity, our imagination. Even you could call it our genius. It goes to this sense of quiet and stillness and mindfulness that are a part of what presence are, and many other features. Just it creates something, a life and a business culture that are truly fulfilling. So there are amazing benefits in just bringing presence into our daily life or our family life, and also into a business's life. So it's not something where we have to just see ourselves as though we're saving the world. We're actually, you know, living in a deeply fulfilling life ourselves. And I'm going to segue to something there, but I hear another voice that wants to just make sure if Steve Behrman's back.
I am back, and thank you for filling in the thick air while I was talking into thin air. So,
yeah.
Excuse me.
My pleasure, Steve. Yeah, somehow we got disconnected, and I think I got back in ahead of you. But, yeah, I was going to segue over to this New York Times article about Silicon Valley, but let me just stop and give you a moment to come in here.
Well, I think we're going to take a break very shortly.
Okay, let me share as we're going to break. We'll come back and talk about these New York Times articles on Silicon Valley. Exciting stuff.
Good. We'll catch you at the other side of the break.
Perfect.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network. Presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens.
Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
I rescued Toast from a shelter in 2011. I love Toast because she's a lazy diva. Toast does whatever she wants, obviously. She's sleeping right now. She's so loving. She's so comforting. When I walked into the shelter, I knew right then that she was special.
Toast, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Okay, this is Steve Behrman. I guess I'm back online here. I must have dropped off. I was talking at the thin air, and fortunately my guest Steve Farrell was talking at the thick air. So I don't know what he said. I'm sure it was good. I'll try to keep my questions non-redundant. In Spontaneous Evolution, Bruce Lipton and I talk about our current condition, the transformational state that we seem to be in. It's a lot like the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. So most of the news out there is about falling caterpillar debris, and there isn't that much about the emerging imaginal cells of the new butterfly. And I think that what the work and play that you're doing, Steve, with all of your organizations and platforms, are to really connect these new imaginal cells. So what is for you the most hopeful signs that you see that we are moving toward that more beautiful world that our hearts know is possible?
Boy, well, let me just say, you know, we're tuned into our soul's purpose. So, and our spiritual practices take us into that meditation and prayer and walking with nature and being with our family and looking in a baby's eyes and all of these kinds of things. They take us into this place of our soul, of our heart space, of our connection. And so, you know, and more people are waking up and are creating spiritual practices to create fulfilling lives. So, and I know you see that in Northern California. I see it here in Colorado. I see it everywhere. I think in a sense, the election here back in November that brought in this administration, and of course there are other nationalist populist administrations like it, this one in other parts of the world, are spurring people to action. And people are realizing, as we're dismantling the EPA, as we're coming out of the climate change accord, as we're now deciding to drill on forest lands and drill on our ocean and water properties. These are all recent decisions that have been announced. We can see that, you know, we're going in exactly the wrong direction, and it's spurring people to action and creating hopeful signs. Such as the, you know, in this award ceremony, even here just on Sunday, the Golden Globe Awards, you know, where the Pound Me Too movement got so much focus, which underneath of that is the sacred in life. It's that men and women must be treated respectfully. That's connection is here. You know, the sacred is here in that message. The Pope's message, where he talked about the practical application of just seeing Jesus in people who are without homes, that are crossing borders and that need help. The encyclical that was also from the Pope. This movement toward conscious business, I'm going to guess that your listeners have heard quite a lot in the last year about conscious business. It's come out of nowhere into something that's now a big, huge focus, where there's a sense that we shouldn't just be talking about quantitative measures like GDP, gross domestic product, that we should be talking about qualitative measures of what is the value contribution of this commerce. So this has come has really come up the awareness scale, and which is why I say in the next 10 years I believe that we'll see unconscious business fall over and die, and that this the conscious business will take its place. The consumers and countries and communities will get behind conscious business, where there's true nurturing of the community and of the planet through these solutions, these products and services that are provided. So I see all kinds of hopeful signs. I'm a huge optimist, as you mentioned in the introduction, too. Crisis precedes birth. So, you know, it's the crisis that is getting all the media attention. which we can see, but it precedes birth. It causes people to think and to become involved, and for the grassroots to become motivated and do all of the kinds of things that it's doing today.
Well, you know, the word crisis originally came from a book on surgery written centuries ago, and the word crisis was meant to be the turning point in an illness or condition to where either the patient gets well or not. So we are in a turning point time, and I happen to agree with you. I think that even though there are certain aspects of our current administration that is alarming, it really has created a great awakening. It's kind of like there's a condition that's been under the skin, and it's erupted through the surface, and now it's on the surface. There's no mistaking it. It's there. Many of the things that we were doing under a nicer face than Donald Trump, now we have Donald Trump's face on it. So that's the appropriate face for many of the things that have been happening. Not, I don't think, because of malevolence, but really because of inertia, because of it's how things have been done. There are rewards in place for doing them the way that they've been doing them. So my next question has to do with this inertia and momentum question. That what do you think is, or maybe it perhaps it already has happened, what is it that actually creates the turning point, the tipping point, and shifts the inertia, shifts the momentum toward this recognition of other bottom lines other than the financial bottom line?
You know, I see this evidence of this in many different dimensions of life. In investment, there's something called social index funds. Vanguard has one, Fidelity and Dimensional. They all have social index funds. These are funds that are invested in conscious companies. And for the last decade, people would invest in these because they said, well, let's put some of our investment portfolio on this. It's going to be good for the planet, even though the returns will not be as good as you know, the S&P 500. Well, for the last 2 years, the returns on these social index funds have exceeded the returns on the S&P 500. So investors with our IRAs and our brokerage accounts and things, increasingly, you know, we're saying we want to put our dollars, our investment behind companies that are doing good things on the earth. And now we're not doing it out of obligation. We're getting our cake and we're eating it too. We're actually getting better returns doing that. Look at consumer products as Unilever, which is based out of Europe. They're getting into biodegradable packaging because more and more we're all buying from Amazon and stuff. So packaging's going in the direction of being able to be composted. And that's just one example. In the consumer product area, as we look at the whole array of products that we buy and bring into our home, look at how organics and composting and biodegradable nature is coming into these products that we as consumers are choosing. Our cars going toward hybrid, going toward electric. So all of the patterns, you know, across consumption, across investment, in the workplace, as we talk about conscious business, when we talk about how we organize, how we create the culture of business, there's huge movements here toward the kinds of things that we're talking about. So I don't think it's stoppable. I think it is an evolutionary tornado. I think this is the next big thing. It's not wireless or the cloud. The next big thing is actually, I'll call it spiritual. You know, it's consciousness. It's connection. It's oneness. It's wholeness.
You know, I think that that's absolutely right. And again, it is a form of technology, in quote marks, because it's a context for it's a medium and a context for how we do business. And it is necessary for our physical survival that we take into consideration all of these things that our economic system in the past has externalized, that hasn't counted it as part of the bottom line or as part of the ledger at all. It's going to be handled by somebody else in some future lifetime. And so when we start to really I find it very heartening that, for example, the solar industry is, you know, one of the fastest growing and, yes, unstoppable industries in the world. And you see a country like China that has made it its business to master those kinds of renewable energies, given where China's been coming from. So I see that there's a lot of signs of the uprising. Anything else that you want to add to something that's on the horizon that you think is going to be a marker for this new awareness?
You know, Steve, thank you for that. I want to just invite people in, and you know, again, your listeners are conscious listeners. This is their lifestyle, but I want to just invite everybody to up our game, because I think it's up our game time. It's self-selection time. It's time to really say, okay, we're already in at this level. How about our family moves the bar up? We're going to go in, you know, another 10 or 20% and just keep upping our game. Because I think the thing that we can all see through the media today is that we're going in exactly the wrong direction. These kinds of things that are happening in the United States are certainly not going to lead to a sustainable Earth, to say nothing of a flourishing Earth. So we do need to up our game. We need to look at our consumer products better. We need to look at our automobiles better. I drive a gas-powered auto myself now. I bought it used 10 years ago, and we don't have a budget to just buy a new car right away. But our next car will be a hybrid or an electric, and our consumer products are certainly going in the direction of conscious products, our investment. So let's up our game. And if you're somebody that's in or around business in a tremendously important area where we can become involved, is to move in the direction of conscious business. Because business is a catalyst for bringing really unconscious, awful things like GMO that we were making a joke about earlier into the marketplace, or the opposite, really nurturing products and services that are actually bringing tremendous benefit to the community and the world. So if people are interested in conscious business, I really invite them to step out there and become a leader.
You know, this really involves a lot more than the usual markers of business, you know, the jobs and all of that, because there's always quality of life issues, and which makes me curious. This is a more personal question, that since you've transitioned over the last 10 or 11 years from your Silicon Valley life to your life as the head of the humanities team and working on these projects, say something about your own family, personal life, and your own sense of well-being. How has that been impacted by shifting your focus?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I live in Boulder. I moved here from Silicon Valley 10 years ago. And I mean, I'm just so much healthier, you know. I probably look, you know, younger than I am because of the work that I do. You know, I mean, it's true that you can create a flourishing life and a flourishing family. You know, like any family, I've got a 13-year-old and 15-year-old, so two teenagers, and there are challenges, you know, as you're raising kids. But boy, there's so much love too. You know, consciousness really at its basis is love. And so, as one example, you know, we say to each other all day long, "Love you, love you, love you," And that's how we use our remote devices, is we text each other, "Love you," with little hearts and stuff. And we do that all day long, you know. And everybody will find their own way. But, you know, I know you and Trudy, Steve, and the conscious lifestyle you lead and the fulfilling lifestyle that creates. So, as we know, you know, this isn't about just going out and saving the world. We're actually creating incredibly fulfilling lives ourselves.
You know, and you know, when you're talking about Silicon Valley and so on, that seems to be a setup designed for workaholism and designed for people who don't have families or who are pre-family, who are you know, under 30 or under 40 and so on. And the it's all kind of like joining the Marines, where you're married to the Marines and so on. I can imagine that, even though I know you work hard at what you're doing, I know you produce a lot, but having spend some time with you and your family, my sense is that it's a much, 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 much more balanced life that you're living as well.
Well, that's for sure. You know, you can't really do this work and do it the Western way. And by the way, on the Western way, you know, I'd mentioned these New York Times articles on Silicon Valley that talked about these entrepreneurs that created incredible material wealth, but that were in crisis. And why? Because their life wasn't connected really to their soul's desire or soul's purpose, which is some of these interior things, consciousness that we're talking about. So, and I lived that lifestyle, and I used to be part of the Young Presidents Organization. So I was I was with people that were living that lifestyle, and you know, the private jets and all of that kind of stuff, it doesn't do it. It doesn't. There's a thirst that's never quenched, and the opposite is true here in this conscious lifestyle. Is we don't need to do any of that, you know, and we go way beyond quenching our thirst. We create something that's really deeply fulfilling, and we know that we're living authentically and with purpose and connected to the divine, you know, which is incredibly fulfilling. So,
you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just had a conversation with Bruce Lipton, and he was talking about telomeres, and telomeres are the DNA strands that tend to get shortened and cut off as we age, and they're a marker for aging. And one of the things that keeps telomeres longer and keeps them long and keeps us vital and young longer is service to the world. So it's not just the good lifestyle things of eating well and rest and exercise and all of that. It's also having what we do be of service, in a sense that when we go out and do what we do every day, we could recognize the benefit for each and all, not just – and, of course, it's always important for any business to thrive. Otherwise, it can't really be of help to anybody else. But that key piece to have that connection and have that connection be a part of – a fundamental part of a business creates an unbeatable context that – reminds us of what's actually bigger than even the biggest business. And that I think that's really that oneness, that sense of we're all part of the humanities team, we're all cells in the same body. Those are memes that are being repeated over and over and over again, and I think they can't be overemphasized enough because this is really it's been missing, and we haven't realized it's been missing. And now that we are in a economic and ecological and, as you had pointed out earlier, political crisis in this confluence of these crises, that connection with that oneness, with that spirit, with that peace of love is really key. So I want to thank you for being with us and for being on the line while I wasn't, Steve Farrell, Humanities Team, Conscious Business Initiative. Go to my website on Om Times Radio, Wiki Politiki, and you'll see links to all of Steve's domains. Thank you. This is Wiki Politiki. Thank you, Steve Farrell.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It was a total pleasure.
Okay. And this is Steve Behrman saying, until next week, Wiki Politiki, catch you again.